In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, health of the sick. Our Lady, refuge of sinners. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this sixth week of ordinary time, which this year happens to be the last Sunday before the beginning of Lent, we have these readings which focus on these situations of leprosy and healing. And it's providential because we're about to enter the penitential season, a time of purification in preparation for the great feast of our religion, the resurrection of our Lord at Easter. The fact of leprosy is in Scripture serves also as a symbol of moral disease and corruption. And it helps by analogy to look into, consider, and reflect on what leprosy does to the body as an analogy for the effects of sin on the soul. We, fortunately, today in our part of the world and in most of the world, I think, no longer have to contend on a regular basis with such a horrid affliction. And so our experience of it is rather distant from these readings, and maybe we've seen some pictures of people affected by this horrible disease, but it's a disease that affects the flesh and in a rather hideous way deforms the body, disfigures the face, the limbs, the extremities, eats away the flesh, and destroys the integrity of the body. And furthermore, it's contagious. So in a certain sense, it's a social disease. That word, I think we can use, being the fact that it's passed from person to person. And so it strikes terror in the healthy population to see, especially in those days when, you know, the mechanism of contagion wasn't well understood and the cure wasn't known. So upon seeing a person affected with leprosy, well, they were instructed by Moses in this law to remove themselves from society. When they're declared or found to be leprous, they shall declare themselves unclean. The one who bears the sore of leprosy shall keep his garments rent and his head bare and shall muffle his beard and cry out, unclean, unclean. That's how dramatic of a situation for someone, for all of society really, where leprosy is active. And so a person affected by leprosy is cast out. Sin is like an infection of the spirit. That's the analogy. It destroys one's moral integrity. And in this case, all of us are lepers. Sin robs the spirit of its beauty. And what once reflected the vitality of God's grace and love, when corrupted by sin, loses its luster, and if not healed, begins to eat away at the soul, robbing it of health and vitality and the capacity to do good. As with all analogies, there's not a perfect correspondence between the two things being compared, but I think if we push it a little bit, we can gain some benefits of this comparison between the physical disease of leprosy and the spiritual disease of sin. Just like with a physical disease of leprosy, there are certain stages of progression or degrees of severity in the affliction. A physical infection, if immediately treated, may leave no scars at all or only minimal visible effects. And even a full-blown case, though, even if treated and cured, sometimes will leave the body's lost beauty. The lost beauty may never be recovered. If a person through leprosy loses a limb, even though they may be cured and the progression of the disease stopped, that lost limb is lost. So too with the soul, the effects of sin, at least in this life, may leave scars even after we're healed, especially if a sin is allowed to fester and eat away the soul to the point of loss of moral integrity. For instance, when somebody becomes deeply enslaved to vice, I think it's good to observe, too, that this comparison should help to create some a deeper reflection on the effects of sin, the effects of physical disease on the body end with the death of the body. And we know by faith that we're destined to rise again on the last day, to be resurrected. And then the body will be restored to perfection, better than it is now. Sin, however, may affect the soul in ways that go beyond the limits of our corporal existence. That is, the moral consequences of sin have eternal effects. And even though we may recover through reconciliation and be saved, even after perhaps an entire life of moral corruption and vice, a person can still be saved up to the last dying breath. However, the effects of sin, at least in the loss of glory, should be considered, because that's eternal. It stands to reason that if we sin, the glory that we attain in the next life will be less than if we had not sinned. Two saints, perfectly equal in everything, except that one committed a few sins and reconciled, and one never committed any sins. I mean, we know that that saint doesn't exist except for Our Lady. But there are saints who were converted after a life of sin. And in any case, all sin will have an effect. So really, the effects of sin are more serious than the effects of any physical disease. It's also important to remember that God is the all-powerful healer, and there is no sin so great that God can't forgive it if we ask. And that's another important point that comes out in the reading today, is that the leper went to Jesus and knelt down and begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." And his act of humility and his recognition of his need, of his dependence, elicit the pity of the Lord. And the same is true for the sinner. God can heal even if we don't ask, but he wants us to ask. And if we don't ask, actually, reconciliation requires that we repent. With this analogy of leprosy, it helps to reflect on the reaction that we would have to being affected by leprosy. If we discovered that we had this disease, our reaction would be one of shock, one of fear, and we would immediately run to the doctor. So why is it when we fall into sin that we don't have this horror and we may languish in that disease for sometimes it may be just days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, and even years for some may go by before seeking treatment, seeking a cure. And so why is that? And I think the answer is, in good part, for probably the majority of cases, just a lack of reflection and a lack of introspection, sort of living life at a superficial level. Introspection and reflection, these two words suggest something akin to looking into a mirror, which is what we do in the physical sense. And we do that with great, great preoccupation. Most people look into the mirror daily, frequently, and are very concerned about appearance as well as their physical health. It's much less common for people to look into their soul, to do that examination of conscience and scrutinize with great care the state of their soul. And I think this is because people are very concerned about the opinion that others have of them. And we're worried about gaining or keeping the esteem of society. We're worried about human respect. And yet, on the spiritual level, we're negligent and unconcerned about what our Lord thinks of us or what Our Lady thinks of us. And we're not worried about winning their esteem. And it goes to that old saying, it's a tendency that I guess is pretty normal, but out of sight, out of mind. And so this is a problem for the spiritual life. Is what occurs with sin quite often is invisible. And quite often, even if it's known to us, at least, our own sin, we hide it. And we pretend like it isn't there. And we attempt to deceive others, or at least conceal the fact of our sinfulness from others. And that's something I think that the first reading can help us to consider. The person affected by leprosy doesn't hide it. They're commanded to expose the fact and warn others, unclean, unclean. That's for, really, not for their good, but for the good of others, for the good of society. And all sin has a social consequence, even though we may be the only ones to know about our sin. It affects everything in our life, and it affects our relations with others. And if we do not recognize and admit our sin, especially, and if we don't get reconciliation, even in a private way through confession, our uncured disease, untreated disease, can also draw others into sin. Just like leprosy can be contagious, we always are going to be either, well, we affect each other, and the strong affect the weak, especially in consideration of sin. For instance, a person who has the vice of gambling, if they run into a person, let's say, who's spiritually stronger, who has good control of their passions and doesn't easily give in to the temptation for, frivolous excitement or dangerous, imprudent situations, they may not be affected. Whereas somebody who's by nature very given to seeking excitement, let's say, even though they may not have the problem of gambling, if they keep company with a gambler, their propensity to their weakness for seeking thrills may lead them to fall into gambling, and it could become a vice for them as well. So there's this this social aspect of sin. As we go into the season of Lent, then it's a very good time for us to consider sin in a deeper way and the mechanism, how it works in us and how it works also in society, and why it is that we are so negligent of the spiritual life while we're so attentive to physical health. And Lent, as I said, is a time of purification. And just as we would seek immediately a cure of any sort of physical disease, and just as we have a horror of leprosy, we should cultivate and ask the Lord for this grace to have the same sensibility about our spiritual health, and recognize that the effects are far greater in truth of spiritual disease than of any physical ailment. We turn to Our Lady, Health of the Sick and Refuge of Sinners, asking her to intercede for us, to help us become wholesome both in our spirit and in body. Praise be Jesus and Mary.